Be with all of you again. I think I was here 2 years ago, the last time I had a chance to preach here at your church, and so it's wonderful to be here again. I am the pastor of the only CREC church out in Iowa, and I've been there about 7.5 years now. I used to pastor up in Bangor, Maine, and that's how I got to know you folks about 2001, I think, or maybe it was 2002, right after first conference after 9/11 when George Grant was here. I think was the first time I had a chance to visit with you folks. And as Harold said, Pastor Clark was a dear friend, and I know you guys miss him a lot, but I do as well. How many of you? Let me talk a little bit before we start getting into this. How many of you have heard of JEEP, the Joint Eastern European Project? Okay, Elder Edgar, a couple of you. Okay. If you're not familiar with this, there are three churches up in the Northwest U.S., Southwest Canada, in what's called the Anselm Presbytery. Our church in Alaska, Pastor Jack Phelps, who I think some of you know. Our church in Langley, British Columbia, outside of Vancouver, British Columbia, and then our church in Oregon City, Reformation Covenant Church, Pastor Dennis Turi. They've banded together to form a mission board called the Joint Eastern European Project. And basically what they're trying to do is they have a pastor over there, Bubu Yarmolek, who is kind of a half-time pastor in Poznan, Poland, and then half-time missionary going throughout Eastern Europe in order to either help start churches, or the main thing that's happened is that kind of independent Reformed churches that are looking for a home and for greater accountability and fellowship have through his ministry joined with us in the CREC. And so if you actually look at the Anselm Presbytery page on the CREC website, I think there's actually more churches now in Eastern Europe than there are in North America, because he's had a very, very fruitful ministry over the last 10 years doing this. So there are churches in Hungary, several churches in Ukraine, I think like half a dozen almost in Ukraine, Bulgaria, they're trying to get a church started, even Belarus, which is a very, very fairly closed country, not so much in an Islamic way, but just kind of in an anti-Western way. And I'm trying to think if there's any other, obviously Poland, there's three or four churches in Poland. So anyway, I am involved with their summer mission project this summer. So what happened was, a couple of years ago, I started working for Pastor Vanderveen up in Langley, British Columbia. He didn't have a local secretary, and so he needed somebody with a couple hours a week to do his bulletin. It's a very extensive, unlike what you guys do here and what we do in Iowa. They actually type out their liturgy every week as part of their bulletin, so it's a very long, extensive bulletin. You know, they gotta have all the hymns slotted in and all this kind of stuff. So anyway, I was able to help him out. So I got to know him, and then I visited his church after the presbytery meeting last fall in October, and mentioned, you know, hey, if you've got something on one of your mission trips, you need some help. And he said, oh yes, we do. Actually, we're in the process of starting to develop this trip for the summer of 2015. And so I kind of got drafted, and it was kind of sad. You might have heard of this. The man who was sort of responsible for heading up the trip, one of the elders up there in Langley, Vancouver, British Columbia, last December, I believe, was involved in a car crash and died suddenly. So they weren't sure if the trip was going to continue. And they ended up did continuing it, but instead of being kind of at this time, it was supposed to be mid-July, they bumped it a couple weeks so that it's actually going to be starting around July 30th. So Lord willing, a week from Monday, I'm going to be getting on a plane and flying over to Hungary, and I will be there with Pastor Attila, Attila the Hun, as we like to call him. He's starting a church there outside of Budapest, and so we'll be doing about a three-day Bible camp for folks there. And then I'm still not sure the exact details, whether we're taking the train or whether we're taking renting a car and going up to Western Ukraine. And as I said, we have several churches there that have come into the CREC. So we'll be doing about a five-day Bible camp there. You know, it's nowhere near any of the fighting that's going on in Eastern Ukraine, so you don't really have to worry about that for me. And I'm sure if anything did happen, they would cancel the trip. And then my last weekend there, I see you have on your mission board the Slavic Reformation Society. You might remember, and it's okay if you don't, but 5 years ago I had a chance to go and teach at the seminary there that Blake Purcell runs in St. Petersburg Seminary. And one of the men there was a Russian, ethnic Russian, who ministers in Latvia. I think his grandparents moved there during the Soviet occupation. And so he has a small church. His name is Timur Anichkin, or Anichkin. And so I'm going to be visiting his church. Our church has just started supporting him recently. And it was very nice, actually, because in May, he came over with Blake and a couple of other guys, of the Russian guys, to do a theology exam with the Presbyterian Church in America up in Northwest U.S., again, same kind of region. That's where Blake Purcell's membership is now. And basically, they're kind of getting ready to form their own denomination, like an Reformed Evangelical Presbyterian Church of Russia, or Eurasia, because it's not just Russia, but it's Russian-speaking nations around there. So he was over here with a couple of other guys, so he had a chance to visit our church, which was very nice for us all to get to meet him. And then I'm going to be visiting him here in about 3 weeks. And one of the amazing things about this trip back in May was they were able to go to the presbytery meeting and then visit some churches and some really good, as people got to meet these men and see what they're doing and sort of realize particularly the economic struggles in Eastern Europe, a lot of support came in. One of the things that specifically Pastor Timur was looking for is they have to have church in his apartment, okay, which I think is probably about right here, you know, like from that wall to that wall right here, and right there is the cutoff. So it's hard to grow a church when you can only fit like 15 people in the room. So they were asking for a specific request. I think it was like $700 a month to be able to rent a community center. He's in Jurmala, which is Grab that now than during the sermon, right? Check. Okay, here we go. If you haven't read that book, you should read it. But what's interesting is that the British are, there's a couple of references in there where they're mocking the Americans, the patriots, for being those bleepity bleep psalm singers. So that was sort of like what they were known for. You know, that was the piety, because, you know, there's a lot of Presbyterians, and that was the tradition that we had. What I'm going to ask you this morning is rather than, you know, having one of these, and I'm glad you have these, and I hope you have these in your home. I was very happy to take one of these, actually, a couple of years ago, that Pastor Clark gave me when I was visiting. But what if you were able to open your Bible and to sing a psalm right out of your Bible? Would that interest any of you? would that be something that, you know, because we tend to like hear the psalms and people read the psalms. You know, I frequently, when I'm having visits, particularly in the hospital, you know, it's wonderful to read the psalms. But I've gotten into the habit lately of singing the psalms when I'm doing visits. Okay? Let me see if I can give you an example. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by waters, whose fruit yields in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the day of judgment, nor be in the assembly of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. So there's an example. We worked on memorization of that a couple of years ago. And I found that my children were much easier able to memorize these psalms because we sang them. We didn't just recite them. Okay. Here's another example. We're working on Psalm 34. We're working on Psalm 34, and we're about a third of the way through it this summer as a church together. I chose that psalm because the middle section of it is quoted in the middle of 1 Peter, and so I thought it was a good way for my congregation to kind of stay connected to what I was doing over in Europe, because I'm actually going to be gone for 4 weeks, 2 weeks of vacation right now, and then 2 weeks on the mission trip. So let me see if I can do this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. This poor man cried, and the Lord answered him, and delivered him from all his fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved me from all my troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. So that's the first 8 verses of Psalm 34. And I and my children were much more able to learn and memorize this psalm because we're singing it, because we're setting it to a tune, and it makes it very easy to kind of repeat the phrases and such. So what I want to talk about for the next, what do I have to 9:30? Okay. For the next 20 minutes is what is known as chanting. What is known as chanting. And one of the ways to think about chanting is to cant in Latin is to sing. Okay. So we're talking about a form of singing, but it's not a form of singing that we're used to. You're a little bit used to it because you have some chant-like tunes in your liturgy, and even some of the Geneva Psalms, they're not sort of the nice, even, metrical, like when we sing Amazing Grace, right? It's what's set to common meter. And what common meter is 6 syllables plus 8 syllables. 6 syllables plus 8 syllables. Or maybe I got that backwards. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. So it's 8 plus 6, okay? That's common meter. It started off in the time of the Scottish Psalter. We sang 136 in the Scottish Psalter. And it's very common. That's why it's called common meter. Okay. You've also got long meter, which is 8 plus 8. Okay. And there's a lot of hymns that are in long meter. Okay. So we tend to, and those are what's called metrical. They fit a certain meter, 8 plus 6, 8 plus 8. Okay. Now in chanting, what you're doing, is you're holding one tone, the chant tone, until you get to the end of the phrase, until you get to the end of the verse, or in the case of the psalm, a half verse. So if you know the psalms, it's like A, therefore B, or A, what's more B. It's this answering phrase, or what we call parallelism. Okay? And so the way the chant tones are set up is that you have this first half, which is the first half, the A section of the verse, and then you have the second half. Okay? Psalm 1, for instance, starts out, it actually has a 3-part first verse. You know, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Okay? So in that case, you would just combine 2 of the lines to get your A, and then you'd do the third one as your B. Okay? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Okay? So you're just breaking it up a little bit differently, but it's the same principle, okay? But he,
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Okay? So you see those two parts there? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. A, what's more, B, okay, is the basic structure. So if you turn, and I apologize, I forgot the way this file is set up to print. But if you look at this first sheet here on page 8, you'll see 11 different tones. And the one I've been using is tone A, and it sounds like this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So you're holding this first tone until you basically get to the last two or three syllables of the verse, and then you complete that first half, and then the second half, you do the other tone, and again, you hold it till you get to the last two or three syllables. And the first four here, A through D, are major. They're in a major key. And so I tend to use those for like Psalms of Thanksgiving or Psalms of Praise or creation psalms like Psalm 8, right? O Lord, O Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. What is man that you're mindful of him? Your hand shaped the stars, all of that. Psalm 104 would be another example of that. The Lord stretched out the heavens. And then the next four are more minor, and so they tend to be more appropriate for like lament psalms, you know, my God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22, or psalms of, you know, F is especially is kind of a gritty one, and it's kind of nice for imprecatory psalms like Psalm 83 or things of that nature. And then the last three you'll see are twice as long, and those are what we call double tones. And those just allow you to have a little bit more variety when you're singing a longer psalm, like we're doing 136, right, this morning. If you were to sing all of that, it gets pretty long. And so having something that is, you know, doubles it just gives a little bit more variety and interest. So that's the music. If you're a musician, if you turn to the next page and see Psalm 9, so for instance, like your organist, you could actually see how these are played on a piano or on a whatever instrument you're using, okay? And they're fairly simple. They tend to just involve two chords, sometimes maybe three chords. And then on page 10 are the double tones. And again, fairly simple. This is meant to be a very accessible way to be able to sing. And I'm going to be able to get you to do a couple here in the few minutes that we have remaining. So keep turning over to page 11 and Psalm 1. Okay? So you'll see Psalm 1. If you're interested to know, these are all taken from the English Standard Version. This is a form of chanting that's used in the Lutheran Church. It's a little bit simpler than some of the Anglican chant. Remember how I was talking before that long meter is 8 plus 6, or common meter is 8 plus 6? Anglican chant uses 6 and 4 for the number of syllables. Lutheran chant's a little simpler. It just uses 4 and 4. Okay? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay, there's the 4. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Okay, so it's 4 plus 4. So it's a little bit simpler than Anglican chant. And it's also meant to be sung in, sung all in unison. Okay? It's not really meant to be sung in harmony. Now my folks, we've been doing it for 4.5 years, and they're getting a little bored singing the harmony all the time. So some of them are starting to figure out the harmony and sing harmony as well as melody. And you can do that. That's fine. Okay, so look here at Psalm 1, and what you'll notice what you'll notice is that there's a little vertical line, okay? That vertical line is put before either the last two or the last three syllables, and that tells you where you kind of change the tone. You get off the chant tone, and you move to the end of the verse. The asterisk in the middle of the verse is the end of the first half of the tone. So, for instance, if you go back to the chant tones, you turn back a couple of pages to the chant tones. So let's see, that was on page 8, I think it was. You'll see that there's a little asterisk above each tone, and that's telling you the halfway point, okay? So the asterisk is telling you the halfway point. So that's what each of these is designed. It's designed to tell you where the middle of the verse is and when you're halfway through the tone. And then when you get to the end of the verse, that's when you've completed the second half of the tone.
So, again, here's what it would sound like. Verse 1.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers.
Okay? Try that with me.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers.
Okay? It's not very hard, right? It's not very hard. So, and you basically, you will just use that same tone all the way through on every single verse. Okay? So, let's try it.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not sit in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Okay, and then our tradition, as it is in the Christian church, is to add the Gloria Patri after that, just to kind of remind ourselves that we're not in the time of David anymore, we're in the time of Christ. And so I didn't write it out there, but what it sounds like is,
glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
All right. So, what did you notice about singing this? What confused you? What did you like anything about it? Did you dislike anything about it? Give me a little feedback. Yes?
Maybe I didn't hear it, and you may have said it earlier. On the tones for chanting, A, B, C, and D, can you use them indiscriminately of whichever song?
Yes, yes. So, for instance, here's what tone D sounds like. Here's the same song.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers.
So you can kind of slot them in however you want. So it's a little bit different, you know, for instance, like in your Geneva Psalter, some tunes are reused, like I think like 100 and 134, the doxology tune, those use the same tune. And what's the other ones? I think 66 and, or maybe it's 36 and 68 use the tune. Same tune.
Mm-hmm. Psalm 68 and Psalm 36, I think, use the same tune. For this, you know, there's only 11 tones, so you're going to be reusing them a lot. And so sometimes, for variety's sake, like if we sing it one year in the lectionary. By the way, we I'm not sure if you guys use the Revised Common Lectionary or the Missouri Synod Lectionary, but we use this to sing the lectionary psalm every week in worship. Okay, we worked on it as a congregation for about 3 months. We bought everybody. There's this book called Reading the Psalms with Luther. And what it is it's these chant psalms from the Lutheran service book, extracted out just the psalms with the tones in the front of the book. And we gave a couple of copies to each family to work on at home in their family devotions so that we could really get good at this. So that we started in like August about this time, and we worked on it until Advent. And then at the beginning of the church year, we started doing this. This was in 2010. So I guess we're 4.5 years now into doing this. So anyway, so we use this to chant the lectionary psalm each week. So we have our Old Testament reading, we chant a psalm, and we do our epistle and our New Testament and our gospel reading. So that's how we've kind of, but we've also used it, like I said, to do psalm memorization. When I'm doing Bible reading, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but like there's a couple places in Chronicles where the narrative's going along and then suddenly there's this whole psalm stuck in there, like Psalm 107 and a couple of them that are stuck in there. So I'll be reading along with my boys. And when we get to the psalm section, we'll just sing it together. Okay. So it's kind of cool once you start to get pretty good at this. And it, you know, it's not that hard. You guys were able to do it here fairly easily. Then you can actually start doing it, like I said, straight out of your Bible, whether it's in your devotions or in your Bible reading or just sitting around together, at the family meal, and singing. We've also found that some of our folks who are not very good singers are actually becoming better singers because the chant tone, it forces you to hold a note longer, and they're starting to hear music a little bit better than they didn't do before when they were just singing hymns all the time. So that's kind of an interesting phenomenon that we didn't even realize was going to happen, but it has kind of benefited our congregation. Let's try another one. Or no, another question. I'm sorry, another question. There was one question. Another question or comment or yes. Okay, good question. And if I was Jim Jordan, I could answer that question a lot better for you. You should have him up to do a whole conference for you on that. But basically I think it shows the most submission to God's word as the way it was given to us. Okay? And that we're, you know, if you're familiar, you know, Hebrew is not like English. You cannot really rhyme it. It's not possible to rhyme it. Our poetry is based on rhyming. That's why we take Psalms and put them in meters that rhyme at the end of each line, right? Well, you can't do that in the original Hebrew. And so, you know, when Paul says you are to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, he's talking about the psalms as they were written. Okay. He's not talking about Dudamel's settings as beneficial as they can still be. He's not talking about the Scottish Psalter as beneficial as it can be. Okay. And has been. He's talking about the psalms as they were written down in the scriptures. And chanting gives you a way to actually sing them the way they were originally written. So I think that's the main reason to do it. Now I'm not as, you know, Jim Jordan, he actually argues that when we stopped chanting and then started putting in metrical psalms, that led to hymns, which led to gospel songs, which led to the cruddy stuff that a lot of the church sings today. So he thinks there's this downgrade the whole way through, starting with metricalizing psalms. I'm not persuaded of that myself. I really like, you know, singing metrical psalms. So I'm not opposed to that. But I do think that there is a benefit. Like I said, I've found in my personal life just a benefit to being able to open up the Bible and just start singing right there out of the Bible. So another question or comment? Yes. Well, yeah, that's a good question. You could do it with any translation. The reason we do the ESV is because that's the translation that this Psalter, this chant Psalter that we started using that already had all that pointing of the Psalms was in. It's from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's from their 2006 Lutheran service book, their hymnal. And so they adopted the ESV when it came out in 2001, 2002. So that's the reason why. But you could do this with any translation. You could do it with King James. You could do it with the New King James. So whatever. Again, the thing is you're just waiting until you get to the last two or three syllables. So for instance, Psalm 1, the end of the first line, wi-ikid. So you stretch the first syllable over two notes, wi-ikid, ska-a-furs. But then you see in verse 2, of the Lord, of the Lord. So there's three syllables, okay? So it's either three separate syllables, or you're taking two syllables, and the first one you're kind of stretching over two notes, okay? Day and night, that's three syllables. Wither, that's two syllables. Pra-os-vers, are not so. So it's either two or three syllables. If it's two, you're just stretching the first syllable over two notes. And if it's three, you're just singing three separate ones. Let's try another one. We got a couple of minutes left. Let's turn over to Psalm 4 on the next page, page 12. And this one is more of a minor, you know, this is a kind of a lament. And so let's use this tone here. So it sounds like this. La, 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 la. This is tone H. Let's try it together. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O man, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
So again, that's more of a lament psalm, and so a tone that's sort of more haunting and minor kind of fits the character of that a little bit better. Good. I think it's 9:30. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, for the hymn book of the church, for 3,000 years now, the Psalms of David, Psalms of Asaph, the Psalms that speak of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you that he is the blessed man who meditates on your law and in whom we are blessed and become fruitful trees. Lord, we pray that as we continue to sing your word, that you would build us up in our most holy faith and help us to be a blessing to others as well. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.